entertainment news for you.
It's brought to you by
Window Nation and AllProFoundationRepair.com.
Thank you, Creighton. Here is Dave.
As well as my good friend and rant compadre, Gordon Keith.
Hard line.
How's it going, Gordon?
It's going great. I think I've got heat exhaustion, but other than that.
Have you been working in the yard?
I've been working in the garage installing a through-the-wall AC unit. And it's not going well.
So you have a hole cut in your garage wall, and you haven't figured out how to get the AC unit in there yet?
It's just now the AC's in, finally got it in, but that thing's like 90 pounds and climbing up a little bit too short of a ladder to lift it up into the sleeve that was pretty precarious.
Yeah, and sounds like maybe you need a second pair of hands.
That would be nice.
We'll get some help.
I think he just needs to grow a second pair of hands.
That would work as well.
Where would I want them out of?
Yes, I'm twitching tonight, 7:35, twitch.tv/actualGordonKeith. It's actually spelled actual Gordon Keith.
All right, we are going to do some rant revival here in a moment, but right now we do have E! News, which on Thursdays is joined by Gordon whenever possible. And Gordon, are you familiar with the forthcoming film Megalopolis?
No.
So this is Francis Ford Coppola's new opus. This is a brand new movie that he spent $120 million of his own money. And he's been in trouble, Francis Ford Coppola. He's extremely old now. He's in his 80s. And there were, I guess, issues where he was trying to kiss female extras on the set, and other people on the crew saying that he was unprofessional. And, of course, he claims that it's just his method.
Right.
People just don't understand his method. This is not his fault, though. This is the studio's fault. So Megalopolis is being released by Lionsgate. And so yesterday, Lionsgate released the second trailer for the movie. And it has, what's his face? The guy that you hate.
Adam Driver.
Yeah, Adam Driver.
Hate's a little strong.
Wait, why do you hate Adam Driver?
He's just a little bit of a beating to me. And
huge.
Hate's a little strong, so I don't mean to start some big brawl over Adam Driver. If people like him, I want them to continue to like him. He's just
beat you down in? Did you see Marriage Story? That was good.
I mean, it certainly started with all the Star Wars stuff, but I believe there were two or three in a row that I'm trying to remember. I don't know.
Do you like him in Girls?
There's no way he watched Girls. I didn't watch Girls. So anyway, Adam Driver, in the movie, he plays a modern-day Caesar, because this is it's an alternate reality where the Roman Empire never fell, and New York is New Rome, and, you know, it's in the modern day, but everything's weird. And so anyway, they put out this new trailer, and at the beginning of the trailer, they have all of these quotes from critics. And these are quotes from critics about The Godfather, Apocalypse Now, Bram Stoker's Dracula, previous Coppola movies that are considered great artistic accomplishments. However, these are unfavorable reviews. So one of the quotes is from a New Yorker critic called Pauline Kael, calling The Godfather diminished by its artsiness. There's one from The Village Voice, Andrew Saris, that says The Godfather is a sloppy, self-indulgent movie. There are other quotes from Roger Ebert, John Simon, Stanley Kaufman, Rex Reed, bunch of notable critics. So the problem is that none of these pull quotes are real.
Mm-hmm.
that no one can determine where any of these quotes came from. The only one that they could find was the Roger Ebert quote that says that it's a triumph of style over substance, which they say Roger Ebert said about Dracula. It was actually from his review of 1989's Batman.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. So they're just making stuff up. And all of these critics are like, I never said that. And people are cross-referencing these reviews. And they're like, these quotes aren't in these reviews. They don't even exist. So Lionsgate has pulled the trailer. And they have released a statement saying, we offer our sincere apologies to critics involved and to Francis Ford Coppola for this inexcusable error in our vetting process. We screwed up. We're sorry.
We went against our core values, and it's not who we are.
Right, exactly.
How is putting negative reviews of past films at the beginning of the trip? I don't understand that.
Well,
I think it's supposed to mean, you know, hey, they doubted him on this movie, and then look how great the movie was.
Yeah, because this is it. It's a misunderstood movie, just like all of his other misunderstood movies, is kind of what they're trying to get to. Anyways,
sold his winery off for this movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Did he really? Because that was really profitable.
Yeah, because like I said, he put all of his money into this. And so I don't know if he's going to be broke if it tanks, but it's probably not going to be good. Another bit of Hollywood news. I don't know if anybody's asking for this, but apparently they are going to reboot the Anaconda movie. Do you remember Anaconda?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. With John Voight.
Yes, so the original came out in 97 with J-Lo,
horrible.
Owen Wilson, horrible. Ice Cube. They were a National Geographic film crew who were taken hostage by John Voight, who played a hunter on a quest to capture the world's largest, deadliest snake.
And he had some wheels-off accent, I think. It was
not good. The anaconda moved impossibly fast. And it was impossibly large, but it was a hit. It made $136 million at the global box office, and they made four sequels. Did you know they made four sequels?
Jeez. Absolutely did not know.
So this reimagining of Anaconda is from writer-director Tom Gormican. Not sure. I'm sure I'm butchering that. But he was behind the Nick Cage movie, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Did you ever see that? It was entertaining.
No, but I suffered it.
Yeah.
The trailer was intriguing enough that I believe I intended to see that movie.
Yeah, it was amusing. It was very meta because Nick Cage is playing himself, or a caricature of himself in the movie. Anyway, this new Anaconda movie is supposed to be a comedic spin on this original story. So it is also meta in that it focuses on a group of friends who are facing midlife crises. One of them is a director, a movie director moonlighting as a wedding videographer, and another is an actor who his peak was a brief stint on a TV cop show. But they want to remake their favorite movie from when they were kids, which is Anaconda. So they head into the jungle to remake this movie, and then things, quote, get real.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, but what makes it most interesting is the two A-listers that are attached to the project, Jack Black and Paul Rudd. Like, I would watch those two guys do anything together.
All right.
And I mean anything.
It's also the plot of Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, it is similar to Tropic Thunder, where they think they're in the jungle filming a war movie and there's an actual war going on. So,
Bob, you want to defend Tropic Thunder?
Sure. Pretty good movie.
Okay.
I endorse every detail.
I watched it recently.
I watched it with my daughter.
Did it age well?
To see if it held up, and she did not think so. I thought it was hilarious, but it was not as funny as I remember. Because I think once you take it out of that time, and once you put it through the lens of 2024, even though you know that the point of it is to be un-PC.
Yes.
that some of it still hits a little too hard.
And you're saying your daughter doesn't find the premise of Simple Jack as funny as you
No,
do.
Or extreme blackface.
Why do you laugh when you say that term?
That's Gordon
yeah,
laughing.
Dave.
That's Gordon laughing. All right, we have a few music stories to get to before we get to the rant revival. Did you know that Foreigner is going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year?
I approve.
They deserve it. Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think so.
What do they sing?
Well, so they're just about to, coinciding with their induction, they're about to release a brand new best of collection.
All you need is Jukebox Hero and you're in.
Right. So among the 18 songs that will be on their new best of that's coming out this October, Cold as Ice, Hot Blooded, Waiting for a Girl Like You, Jukebox Hero. Those are their big ones.
Just put them in. Yeah. Rubber stamp that.
So they have also added it's actually the title track of the best of collection, and it is a song that they unearthed from sessions back in the 90s. It's called Turning Back the Time. Okay, and so this was a song.
Turn back time.
No, it's not a cover of that. But guitarist Mick Jones.
If I could find a way.
He was working.
Hey, Mushmouth Share.
He was working with Lou Gramm, who was the singer at the time, and they wrote some songs together.
No, that's Lou Grant.
That never saw the light of day. But recently. Mick Jones, who, by the way, has retired from touring because he's battling Parkinson's. But he went back and was listening to these old tracks, and he decided that this one, Turning Back the Time, needed to be finished, that it needed to be heard. So would you like to hear the long-lost Foreigner song, Turning Back the Time, with
I guess the
classic lineup of Lou Gramm on vocals? Okay, here we go. On the ticket. I believe
we're doing like this. Sports.
Yeah. Are you doing it?
Are you doing it? You're on.
Oh, okay.
What's,
you know what? It's
what's
my
happening?
It's my fault. It's totally my fault. Here we go.
Okay.
Thinking about the times I was growing up and the road that brought me here.
Yeah.
All the little things that change, the shape of things that come, the laughter and the tears.
Yeah.
I remember when the world was at my feet and I could do no wrong.
Okay, now the chorus, classic Foreigner. Here we go.
I saw the Beatles on my black and white TV. It changed everything deep down inside of me.
I mean, that's
it's not bad.
It's Lou Gramm. That's a good Lou Gramm Foreigner chorus.
Yes.
I mean, you know, the verse, meh, but that hits. That chorus hits pretty good.
Yeah, that makes up for I Want to Know What Love Is.
Does it?
Oh.
Okay, speaking of long-lost songs, this will be our last
little
bit for the e-news portion of Rant. But coming up on October 22nd, Alex Van Halen is issuing a memoir called Brothers. That
is he the dead one?
No, he's the alive one.
Gordon.
Alex Van Halen is the alive one.
There's very few cases where a dead person writes a book.
Okay. All right. Fair. That's fair.
So he says...
Like when?
Alex says, this is my...
Okay, there are no cases.
Yeah, unless somebody finds a manuscript
in a dusty attic.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Alex says, this is my tribute to my brother, a way of saying goodbye. Ed, I love you and I miss you. And when I see you again, I'm going to kick your ass. So this is about their entire life from their childhood all the way until Eddie's passing in 2020, and talking about moving to the U.S. And trying to fit in, and then discovering music together, and then rising to stardom, and achieving things that they only dreamed of when they were kids, right?
Getting to play the Spaghetti Warehouse.
But the thing that is exciting, I guess, for Van Halen fans, beyond the fact that he's putting out this memoir, is that the audiobook version will have the final piece of music that the Van Halen brothers wrote together, a song titled Unfinished, that Eddie and Alex worked on together, and it will be featured prominently in the middle of the audiobook. I'm sure it's an instrumental, as you know, they were probably just messing around in the studio by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm interested.
I mean, you know, if you're a Van Halen completist, wouldn't you want to hear the last thing that Eddie worked on before he died?
How many Van Halen completists do you know?
None.
Same.
I always kind of liked Alex, though. Just kind of back there, smoking, hammering away on the drums.
Yeah, and since Eddie's passed away, Alex has been out of the spotlight.
He's always been understated.
Yeah, like Sammy Hagar invited him to participate in his most recent kind of nostalgia tour, and Alex didn't even return his calls, so it'll be good to hear from Alex again.
Sure. Let's
all right,
do it.
Coming up next, The Rant.
Why?
Okay.
Here's The Rant open.
Oh.
This is just taking all the life force that I had.
He's the poster boy of underachieving.
So it's just, we
the
can't
sound
find
of
it.
Someone slumped against a door, taking that last drink of whiskey.
How do we not have the rant?
He's been looking for
chambering
several, one.
Several hours?
Yes.
All right, just turn it off. Turn it off.
I'm a Yankee Doodle gay man.
I was going to wait it out, but I like your idea of grabbing the steering wheel.
We once again welcome in Gordon Keith, who is twitching tonight. If you would like
Thank
to
you,
tune into a special behind-the-scenes Twitch Fun Factory moment with Gordon.
See me freshly showered.
Wow. All right, yeah. So never listened to The Rant was a Saturday morning program anchored by one Gordon Keith that at various times featured myself and Corby Davidson, who is not here today. And The Rant Revival is sponsored by
Eatsy's Market and Bakery.
Thank you. And so The Rant was a unrehearsed, very unplanned, spontaneous bit of radio nonsense. Experimental radio is what you like to call it, Gordon.
Thank you. Yeah.
With lots of pop-up characters. And one of our favorite things to do would be to look at the news of the day and seek out the more unusual news items. And so I have a few of those for you here on this edition of The Rant Revival.
Okay.
Gordon, have you seen the story about the high school principal in California who has been placed on administrative leave?
No.
Okay,
I'm
so
not.
So they had last Friday, there was a back to school rally at Boohawk Colony High School in Atwater, California. And they have a new principal. It's his first year at Boohawk. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. Boohawk High School.
Boohawk Tua?
Yeah, Boohawk Tua. It's his first year as principal, Robert Nunez. And so he was participating in a skit in this back-to-school rally they had in the gym. He was in the middle of the basketball floor, and he was doing a little skit with the school mascot, Thor. And so in this video that, you know, there, of course, all the kids in the crowd are videotaping, and one of the kids showed this to his parent, and then his parent ended up putting it out on Facebook. And so in the video, Robert Nunez is in a chair and the high school mascot Thor is doing some kind of dirty dancing in front of him, like almost like a lap dance. And then Robert Nunez has a confetti cannon in his groin area.
Oh, no.
And he explodes confetti all over Thor, the mascot. And then they switch places. And then there's like a whole nother kind of group dance thing with other people. And then at the end, he says, what happens at BooHawk stays at BooHawk, because the rally had a Vegas theme. So the parent who posted the video, he captioned it saying, am I square or was this weird for a principal to do? And so it caught like wildfire, and other parents saw it and started circulating it, to the point where school administrators said, we're going to have to investigate this and we're going to put him on administrative leave. So he's been placed on leave. And meanwhile, a lot of kids that were at his previous schools have come to his support.
Okay.
They're sticking up for him, saying he's a good guy and this was just a bad joke and he was probably put up to it by his students. They're trying to make excuses for him. But the parent says, I'm like, I know, but the fact that there wasn't a red flag is a red flag itself, that this is just weird for a principal to do.
Yeah, the confetti cannon between the legs.
From the crotch?
Yeah, the explosion of confetti.
Feels.
That maybe was a step too far.
Yeah, we should probably.
Like a mascot lap dance is one thing, but then when you achieve as a result of it.
Achieve confetti.
Right.
Organism.
Yeah, that's kind of like. Like if the Globetrotters incorporated this skit into one of their games, that's how it would end, is with the confetti explosion from the crotch.
I suppose what's wild here is that the governor on the entire, not an actual person, but the limitations, if you will, of seeing countless phones recording everything, you would think it would scale things back slightly. But it doesn't seem to, right?
I guess trying to chase a viral moment.
Well, yeah, I'm saying the performer, though, might say, oh, wait, there's 100 cameras here. Maybe this won't stay here.
Yeah, this won't stay here. This will go viral.
In fact, even if I say it stays psychology. Here, even if I say.
I think he wanted it to go someplace, just not to parents.
Yeah, just a bad idea, coach.
What was the. Did you ever have a moment in high school, Gordon? Because I know that you would act like you didn't want attention, but that was the thing that you sought the most. So was there...
Seems like a very deep and insulting assessment.
Was there, to this day,
that's all you've ever been about?
Was there your crowning moment? Was there ever an event that took place in front of the entire student body where you... in 1990s lore went viral?
No, there was the pants down incident that made the rounds for a while.
Your pants or that someone was, else's?
No, I was there was a it's kind of confusing, but there was this stairway and it had a landing halfway down the stairway, so the bottom floor could see up to the landing and the top floor could see to the landing. But the top and bottom floor couldn't see each other, the people who were there. So I was on the landing and I was goofing around, you know, kind of pranking and trolling a friend of mine on the first level. And I pulled my pants down. This is during class. I was wandering the halls. Going to visit friends and other classes. And a substitute teacher walked out and saw me. It was a substitute theater teacher. Sees me on the landing from the second floor. And she wrote a note to the principal, sent me to the office, and the note said, and I kept the note forever in my wallet until I lost that wallet probably a decade later. It said, Gordon Keith did not go to class. I found him wandering around the halls with his pants down. And I loved that description of my life so much.
Yeah.
With his confetti cannon exposed.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Just
looking for someone to receive his confetti cannon.
Right. But, you know, schools have a history of doing things that, I don't, exactly what you're talking about. They think it's a good idea at the time, and somehow no one checks and balances it and says, hey, bad idea, coach. Because there was that famous story, and I forget where the high school was. And the fact that so many people went along with this gag still just beggars reason. So it was a thing where some high school seniors were all blindfolded, males and females. And they got their opposite sex parent there, and they each kissed their own child.
And what? The premise romantically? Was,
yeah, the premise was the kids thought that there was going to be other seniors kissing them romantically.
Oh, my gosh.
But instead it was their parents doing it.
But the parents, course, but they, the parents weren't blindfolded, to, right?
No, the parents were not.
They were willing participants.
And, yes.
Dude.
And then at the end of the big, long kiss, they step back and they tell the student, you know, okay, take off your blindfold. And then they look in front of them, and there's their mom or
gross.
Dad standing right in front of them.
Ugh.
It's a famous bit of viral footage that's out there. And that happened at a high school at a pep rally where everybody's cheering. So it's not just one parent going along with this. It was probably about 10 or 15 of them, all the faculty, and then they, all the people in the pep rally.
How humiliating.
That gross, you, gross, gross.
That you find out you made out with your mom in front of all your
mom
buddies.
Hamming it up for the crowd, giving you tongue.
Holy cow, it's so bad.
All right, here's another bad idea. There's a OnlyFans model, Chloe Lopez. She's British, but I think she's been doing this in Spain. But people are outraged because she's been posting videos of herself leaving her underwear in public places as quote a donation. So her most liked reel, which has almost 28,000 likes, she is in a grocery store and she reaches under her white dress and slips off a black lace thong and then tosses it onto a shelf of food. Mm. And then wanders off with a smile as shoppers...
And it kind of sticks to the side of the food and then slowly starts sliding
snail
down.
Snail trails down the side of the crisper.
What?
And so people are like, she needs to be arrested and her account needs to be taken down because... This is not the only thing that she's done. She leaves her panties as tips. Like, she has a video where she signs her receipt at a cafe and then pulls off her underwear and leaves it as the tip. She also leaves her panties atop a public memorial. Like,
whoa,
where people, I guess, are doing a candlelight vigil and she puts her panties up there.
She appears to have a very high view of herself.
Yes. And then she also puts panties into the dispensing bin of a vending machine. So you think you're getting Funyuns and you reach in there and you grab some panties.
It smells the same.
Yeah, exactly the same.
You get some panties.
So that's gross. But I think this last one is, this happens probably once every 5 years and it would always come up on the rant when it happened. A guy in Thailand, a guy named Thanat Tangtawanan, we'll just call him Thanat for short. He shared this video on social media, but this was a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning. He woke up around
his panties in a vending machine.
No, but he woke up around 10 in the morning and went into his bathroom there in Thailand, and he flushed the toilet just to make sure, and he thought that the coast was clear, but then when he sat down on the toilet, he felt a sharp pain in his testicles.
Mm-hmm. Snake.
He looked down, and a snake had its jaws wrapped around his balls.
Come on!
So he freaks out, and he jumps up, and he grabs the toilet brush behind the toilet and uses it to beat the snake off of his testicles.
Off?
Yes, he beat off the snake.
Snake.
Drop it! Drop it!
There's only...
No, you never gave me the time. I'm not going to release. No. Hang it on.
So he finally
Snake, if we could get a word with you, please.
No. I've got a time and balls in my mouth.
News 11 here, Snake. We
no time.
It's a Thai snake.
Seems so like you have an accent there.
You can tell where he's from.
Geographical sort of effect, if you will.
How do you feel being beaten to death with a toilet brush?
I'm freaking Thai. I hate Thai guys. I love the rules, but I hate the guy.
Yeah, so the snake went limp and died. And so he posted a video of the aftermath with the snake dead, kind of trailing out of the toilet, and then blood all over the floor from his balls. So a neighbor took him to the hospital. He had to get tested for snake AIDS.
What kind of snake is this?
Well, it was a non-venomous
ball
snake.
Ball python?
Yeah, it was a ball python. It was non-venomous, so he did not need his neighbor to suck out the poison, but he did have his balls mangled by its jaws.
Yeah, he should have lied to his friend.
Wait, he's dead, isn't he?
I think it's a venomous snake. Help me out. Come on.
Man.
I know you want it.
Slower.
It was great to have the tiger snake.
There's the venom.
No, stop it. That's not what we're looking for here.
Yes, so the snake did not set off his confetti cannon, but it did drain his balls. The end.
Gordon, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Hardline. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. And you can, of course, catch Gordo for all your streaming needs later at the actual Gordon Keith.
7:35 tonight. There actual Gordon Keith on Twitch.
All right, love you.